Are you struggling with juggling all of the small groups and seeing progress in your students' math development? My free guide to enhancing your math small groups will help you learn how to structure your small groups for optimal math learning, plan your small groups so your students learn and grow, and you'll learn how to organize your materials effectively so you are working smarter, not harder. Get ready to support your students in their math development and see fantastic math growth by grabbing my free guide today at kindergartencafe.org/math. Unlock the secret to teaching math small groups so that your students actually grow at kindergartencafe.org/math. Hey, teacher friends, it's Siba from Kindergarten Cafe, and right about now, you're probably completing some mid-year assessments, going over the data and the results, and you might be having some questions. Well, I got some questions from some teachers like you, and I thought this would be a great time to talk about these questions in particular about all about data and specifically around like mid-year assessments and supporting our students with those problems. So let's get into some of these questions. You're listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast, where kindergarten teachers come to learn classroom-tested tips and tricks and teaching ideas they can use in their classroom right away. I'm Ziba, creator and founder of Kindergarten Cafe, and I help kindergarten teachers with everything they need from arrival to dismissal in order to save time, work smarter, not harder, and support students with engaging and purposeful lessons. I'm here to cheer you on through your successes and breakthroughs and offer support and resources so you never have to feel stuck or alone. Ready to start saving time and reducing your stress, all while using effective and purposeful lessons that students love? Let's get started. First question. Hey, Ziba, I just finished our mid-year assessments and I'm feeling so discouraged. I've been working hard all year, but the data isn't showing the progress I expected. I don't know if it's me, the testing, or just the kids are having an off week, but I feel like I'm failing them. First of all, we've all been there. You're definitely not failing them. You are showing up every day and you are working so hard. You are doing what you can for the kids. And so please don't feel like you're failing them. This mid-year assessment point is a great like check-in to see how are they doing. You've just spent the first half of the year really giving them a lot of key foundational skills. And now the learning's but going to get a little bit harder. And so it's a great time to check in and see how are they doing with those foundational skills and are they ready for the next level? And I think the key is breaking down those assessments and seeing where are the areas that the kids are not progressing the way you expect them to. And then use that as a teaching point for small groups or for intervention. Find time in the day when you can meet with those kids as an extra dose in addition to what the class is doing. But also know that if the work is getting harder, the kids might not be ready for that. And how are you going to meet them where they are? So for example, if I'm not sure based on this, which assessment they're struggling with, but I would say no matter which academic area, like it's reading or math or whatever, back up to where they are. So let's say it's math and they're not quite at the counting point that you want. Okay, well, what can they count to? If they can't count to 35, where can they count? Can they count to 12? Great. Go from there. Go from 12 to 20 and meet with them in small groups. And I think, you know, we work so hard to come up with all of these really engaging activities for the kids. But sometimes kids that are struggling really just need the routine of doing things over and over and over again. So if they didn't progress the way you expected in counting, okay, make sure that that's a focus for you. Pull them for 5 minutes each day, if you can, and just have them do a counting activity with you every day. You can change up what they're counting, but every day they're counting. And you can change the amount so that maybe it's between 12 and 20, it's different each day. Right? Or maybe you give them a different tool to practice with, like a counting mat or a 10 frame, something like that. But you are having them practice counting every single day. And they're not going to get bored. Don't worry about that. But they really do need the routine practice. If, let's say, it's literacy, that they're not decoding words yet. They're not able to read words on the mid-year assessment. Okay, don't panic. I just did an episode on how to support kids with decoding and blending. Try those in small groups. Back up. Do they know all their letters and sounds? Okay, great. They know their letters and sounds for the most part. Now it's about putting those together. Do that work consistently with them. Be consistent with it. Don't worry about them getting bored. Meet with them every day, 3 times a week, whatever you can, even for just 5-10 minutes. And the more consistent you can be with the practice, the better off they will be. And then I wouldn't wait until the end of the year assessment to just see how they're doing. I would do more frequent check-ins. So in a month, do a check-in with them on the skill that they were having trouble with and see how are they progressing. Are they showing some improvement? If not, you definitely want to think about, okay, what can I do differently in small groups? But give it like a month to 6 weeks of trying consistently in small groups with them before throwing in the towel and saying, I need to do something different completely. The other thing that you can do is use this point to meet with other teachers, curriculum coaches, if you have it, admin. Talk about what you've been trying and be honest about, like, this is not the progress I wanted to see. What else can I try with them? They might have ideas that you hadn't thought of. You can also certainly reach out to me and go through your specific examples of what you've tried. We can do a one-on-one coaching session. I can map out exactly what I would do for the small group, for the student, based on their data. Like, we can go through all of that together. Or you might have curriculum coaches or other teachers that you can go to. You might have a meeting with your school to go over the assessment data, and they might have ideas for you there. The other thing you can do is meet with the parents, and I would meet with the parents based on the assessment results and talk about where you're, what you're seeing, what you've tried, and what you're going to work on with them going forward, and give parents something to do with them at home. I have a whole episode on working with families to support learning at home. When you just bring a problem to parents without giving them something that they can do, whether or not they're going to do it, it just doesn't feel good for them. It's like you're dumping the problem on them without telling them how they can help. So regardless of whether you think they're going to help do this at home or not, give them something to do. Have something ready so that you can say, please, can you try this at home? Here's the activity. And in the episode I mentioned, I talk about the types of activities that you want to give to families that are easier for them to do on their own. So definitely check that episode out. But I wouldn't wait until the end of the year or the next time you have parent-teacher conferences to meet with them. Meet with them now. You have the data. Let's go over it. Let's make a plan and let's go forward from there. And bottom line, please don't feel like you're failing them. You're showing up. You're doing all the things. You're working hard. You're definitely not failing them. Some kids just need more repeated, explicit, consistent practice. Some kids may need more than you're able to give. Maybe they will need to be tested for special education, for an IEP. Sometimes it feels like you're banging your head against a wall doing the same counting activity all year. But some kids really need that. So please don't feel like you're failing them, okay? And like I said, I'm here to help you make a plan for your specific group. We could do a one-on-one coaching session whenever you need. Okay, the next question I had. Hi, Ziba. What routine do you use to teach letter names, sounds, and shapes? I have a handful of students who still don't know their letters, even though it's February. We've been practicing daily and they're just not retaining it. I'm not sure what else to try. Okay, so I do have a previous episode all on teaching letter names and sounds to kids who didn't come into kindergarten with that knowledge or kids struggling to learn their letter names and sounds. The biggest thing that I would say is don't move on to asking them to like start reading books. Focus on the foundational skill of learning their letter names and sounds. Instead of doing a small group with them on reading, like you might do with other students, do a small group with them on learning their letter names and sounds, practicing them. The other thing, definitely, like I just said, is to talk with the parents and give them some things to do at home to practice the letter names and sounds. I think when they're really not retaining things, making it more kinesthetic is a good thing to try, or, you know, sensory based of writing the letters in sand or Play-Doh or whatever. Sometimes they need more They just need a different kind of approach. But I do think they need that consistent, repeated practice. So every day, pull them for 5 minutes and just flip through the card. And then you could do the small group later on. Let's practice writing the numbers or the letters. Let's practice finding them on the alphabet chart and see if we can get a bingo. Things like that. But every day, just do a quick flip through of the cards so that they get that practice. But definitely check out the episode I have on teaching the letter names and sounds. And the final question is, hi, Ziba. I'm a first-year kindergarten teacher, and I listened to PD by the Pool. It was such a big help. My question is about data. Right now, I keep a binder with a tab for each student, but it's overflowing and hard to manage. Is there a better system you use for keeping all the data organized throughout the year? So this is perfect time to talk about this. Mid-year assessments, we've got all kinds of assessments and data coming at us. So how do we organize it? First of all, thank you so much for listening to PD by the Pool. And I'm so glad it was so helpful. PD by the Pool is my private podcast for first-year kindergarten teachers. And you can sign up for that if you're thinking of becoming a kindergarten teacher or you're new to kindergarten. It's definitely a great help for the summer for thinking about back to school, but it's just good all around for first-year kindergarten teachers. So I'm so glad it was helpful. So how do we manage organizing all of the data? So I have two systems for organizing my data. The first is that I have hanging folders in a drawer in my desk, and they have numbers, and each number represents a child in the class that goes along with my class list, the mailboxes, et cetera, like everything, the lunch number, the lunch ordering, like everyone has a number. And so if I have different assessments or like work samples or things, I'll pop them in there. I also have a binder with a tab for each student. Again, it's based on numbers, so I don't have to change it out each year. And it has my kindergarten assessment pack in there. So it has like a letter ID, letter sound, high frequency words, number, ID, and then it has other assessments, which I don't necessarily do with all students, but they're there in case I want to do them with students to get more information, like beginning sound, ending sound, writing CVC words, that kind of thing. That is in my Teachers Pay Teacher store and my website store if you're looking for assessments to use with kindergartners. But I do like to have everything organized in the binder that way. But yeah, if it gets overflowing, like I don't add things to the binder. That's when I put in the hanging folder. But I think it's important to think about what's the purpose of holding on to something and like why might, like what's the purpose behind keeping something? If it's like a work sample or an assessment, is it helping inform your instruction? Are you going to want to show it as data to admin or parents if kids are struggling to the point where you want to recommend testing for an IEP or you have an IEP meeting and you need to show samples of things? You know, you don't need to do that for every student. But the other thing I would say is I also have a lot of class lists with like charts, empty charts. And so I'll write in the chart, okay, you know, winter reading assessment, and I'll just write in for everyone so I can quickly see how the class is doing. Or I'll print out, if we have an online system, I'll print out a class at a glance. Actually, I often don't even print it out anymore. I just know where to find it on the computer. The electronic assessments are, it does cut down on the paper. But when I want to be able to look at it all in one place, I like those class lists that have empty charts that I can fill in to see how is everyone doing at a glance. Because like, I love having my assessments organized by numbers. But then if I want to see, okay, wait, which students were, you know, only knew 5 high frequency words and other students knew all their high frequency words, like I want to be able to see that quickly. I can fill in that chart, how many high frequency words they all know as I'm assessing them. And then I only have to look at that one sheet of paper. I don't have to go into each numbered spot in the binder to find the high frequency word data sheet, right? I can see it all in one place. But if I have a meeting about a particular student that I'm concerned about or want more support for or whatever, I can open that up and showcase their individual progress. So that is how I organize my data. But like I said, I think about what's the purpose of holding on to a piece of assessment data. And if you don't need all the time, like, is there a hanging folder you can put it in? And if you're putting it in there, is there a place maybe to write it down on like a class chart so that you don't have to go finding it again, but you can write down the class chart how they did so you can see that information with the whole class all together. So yeah, that's how I manage all of my data. So all of these questions had to do around like mid-year assessments and supporting kids in those assessments. If you have questions, I'd love to hear from you so that I can maybe use your example on a podcast episode. Or like I said, I'd love to set up a one-on-one coaching session with you and help you work through your specific problem and how the different things you could try to handle it. So definitely reach out if you have concerns or issues, and I can try and help. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thanks so much for listening to the Kindergarten Cafe podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for more information and resources, or just head straight to kindergartencafe.org for all the goodies. If you liked this episode, the best ways to show your support are to subscribe, leave a review, or send it to a friend. I'll be back next week with even more kindergarten tips. See you then.